The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Line, gotta
it's our
say
new
it.
Routine. It's
it
amazing.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I think I shared with you before the podcast. I've been listening to Terry Gross interview Howard Stern, which has been really fun. And I think it's the first time I ever recall her doing a two-part interview because there was so much to cover.
That's so cool.
So I highly recommend it. Everyone should listen. He's kind of a changed man from 20 years of psychotherapy. I've always been a fan, actually. I know.
My dad's a huge fan.
Yeah, I used to listen to him until he was on Sirius, which I don't get. Mm-hmm. But now he has had a really interesting journey through psychotherapy. He's kind of a kindler, gentler Howard Stern. So
that's so fun.
And
good
Terry, it was interesting to have, get the Terry Gross treatment, the way she's so serious, the way she, asks questions. And and it's hooked to a book called Howard Stern Comes Again. So, he loved that she had to say that on air because it has a double meaning.
I have to get into it. You turned me into an Anderson Cooper fan.
So yeah, Howard Stern's next. Yeah.
And my dad would be so happy. Remember, wasn't he here? He was in Baltimore not too long ago, and he, ate at Citron.
He did. Yes, so he had brunch at Citron. Actually, that's something I'm writing about
In
an upcoming piece about where to see celebrities in Baltimore when they dine out. In fact, with Preakness, I saw that Robin Thicke was over at Taliata.
An outcast.
And Bobby Flay was at Izumi.
Oh, cool.
So, these stars, when they come and eat here, you kind of don't expect to see them. They're a little bit under the radar.
When Drake went to Izumi.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Yeah.
That was insane.
Other than our local celebrities, like Cal Ripken, I see him at Stone Mill Bakery eating. Usually he's eating two breakfasts.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's by himself.
Wait, that's a funny tidbit.
Yeah, yeah. So I've seen him there. I've seen him eating at Atwater's. He's always eating eggs, maybe because I'm at those places in the morning. Other than him, Ravens players, Justin Tucker, I saw at Rye Street. But there are local celebrities. You don't expect to see national celebrities.
It's nice when the national ones come in just to kind of see where they eat or, what recommendations they've gotten from other people or their publicists or whatever.
Yeah, so stay tuned for my July trend page. It's all about that.
Yes, I can't wait. So cool. Well, there's so much to unpack this week with food news. I feel like it was a great week starting off. A pat on the back to us. Our Baltimore Magazine took home 3 CRMA awards.
I know.
It's so cool.
Yes.
It's always morale around here. It just goes through the roof.
So the CRMA City Regional Magazine Awards are a consortium of other magazines doing what we do. So it's really sort of like apples and apples. We're, these just major magazines in other cities with far bigger budgets and bigger circulations, and we can still sometimes, it's not really about beating them, but it is fun to come home with the awards. And we were nominated for 12 across digital and print and art, and I think we won something in each category. So that was really great. We get kind of jaded around here because we're used to being nominated and all the time, and this was a record amount of nominations and a respectable amount of wins.
So special, and we're always so honored to bring home those lovely plaques.
And my crab story lost to cheesesteaks, which, if it had to lose to something, honestly, I always say I'm a Philly girl. Okay with that.
Yes.
It was actually a terrific story.
Oh, good. I have to check it out, but you're right. I think your Philly roots are probably proud of the cheesesteak story.
I was secretly rooting for it.
Oh, that's so funny. that kicked off a great week. Lots of food news this week, so let's dive right into that. So Raw and Refined, this is the new concept that's taking over the Button space next to Swim Club in Canton, is officially opening Memorial Day weekend. So it's a new kind of dockside hangout, kind of a nautical theme. I'm sure plenty of people will be flocking there for the summer to, sip summer cocktails and take in the waterfront views. So this is a menu that's helmed by Chef Patrick Morrow. He's been at a ton of places around town, including South Point in Port Covington. So the whole kind of concept is seafood, but taking influences from different places around the globe. So places like Latin America and the Caribbean. So look out for things like a wood-fired mahi-mahi sandwich, tuna tartare cannoli with ancho chili sauce, an open-faced cubano, and they're going to have elote-inspired grilled oysters with chili lime butter. And they're also going to have, you know, like the classic icy crushes and rum old fashions and lots of frozen cocktails. So it sounds like a great summer spot.
Yeah, you know, it's ambitious. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the seafood focus. The around the world thing, it often doesn't work because it's hard to be great at Mexican food and, you know, Thai food, and sort of this global cuisine thing has been the downfall of some other area places. So we wish them well, certainly, but you need to have some signature dishes that you really can do well. And hopefully there's some people in that kitchen from some of those countries so that it feels authentic and not like it's posing on a plate.
Totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree. So we'll have to see. I guess we'll give them a couple weeks and
absolutely
check it out.
Trying not to judge before it even opens.
That's right. But that's open officially Memorial Day weekend. Another opening that we saw, I'm interested to hear your thoughts about this, Jane. So I feel like I've been witnessing, or the scene as a whole has been witnessing a bunch of Tex-Mex places opening throughout Baltimore County. So, you know, there have been a ton specifically in the Owings Mills area where my family's from. I feel like we have like six or seven new places. You know, there's Mezcal, which I know a lot of people like, and there's this new place called Jose Tequila's, and La Tolteca just opened a new county location. So there's lots of different Tex-Mex places, but a new one called Taco Bravo just opened in Timonium in the Pedonia Village Shopping Center. And it seems like this one has a more authentic slant, which I appreciate a lot. I think, you know, Tex-Mex is great with like the pages long menu of everything. But this
one, pinata. Seems,
but this one seems to have a little bit more of a curated menu. It's from the owners of Taco Daddy Cantina that has locations in Frederick and Gaithersburg. And they have things like ceviche, and they have carnitas and lamb barbacoa tacos on corn tortillas, Mexican beers and mezcal margaritas. It kind of reminds me of when we did our taco issue and we were doing the like gringo versus authentic.
Totally. Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. You know, I think everyone's looking for the next big thing and also trying to riff off something that's really hugely successful. And, you know, we try not to say Clavel every single local flavor live podcast, but I do feel like it's a little bit of the Clavel effect, much in the same way we try not to say Woodbury every podcast. Everybody wants to be the next Woodbury.
Right.
So I feel like the farm-to-table thing has slowed down somewhat. But maybe, you know, Clavel was nominated for James Beard Award for their BARC program. They really introduced Mezcal to this area. Our digital producer, Jess Mayhew, actually, I remember her very first review of Clavel and the Queso Fundido.
Right,
and
years ago.
I didn't even know how to pronounce it or what it was. And now it just rolls off our tongues. So someone probably was smart and researched the market. I mean, Mexican, whether it's Tex-Mex or authentic, is kind of a universally loved food by all, and it's also really family friendly. But I bet somebody was looking at some of the successes and testing the market and then looking at the county and saying, oh, it's, you know, there's not anything quite authentic. So I bet that'll do really well.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's so funny. I feel like with Mexican, it's like you can never have enough. People love it.
Yeah, and the price point's usually, you know, really, really good.
Right.
And as I said, families, you know, can go and kids love it. And that sounds like a really promising concept.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of a segue off of that, you mentioned Clavel. I'm not sure if you saw Carlos Bravo was in Men's Journal this
month. I saw that.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I did. Tattoos and all. Yeah, it was like a little shout out.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think, I forget the name of that piece, but it kind of reminds me of our top 10 pieces where, you know, the focus or the subject picks their favorite things.
Yeah.
And so he mentioned hibiscus and mezcal and ceviche, of course. But he also talked about his love of Frosted Flakes.
I only saw the Instagram, yeah. So I didn't see the whole piece.
Oh, yeah. But it's so cute. He was talking about how when he was younger, and because he was born in Mexico, when he came to the United States, he would like buy in bulk Frosted Flakes because they didn't have it there.
Oh, how funny.
And now he like eats it with his kids. I thought it was cute.
Yeah. Well, what I love is the story he always tells is that when he came here and opened Clavel, he used the recipes of his aunts who raised him.
Right.
And they wanted to come and try the recipes to make sure he was doing them justice.
And they loved them, right?
Yeah, and they loved them. So he got the approval from the aunties.
That's the most important.
And he mentioned his family. He's very family oriented.
Yes. But I think it's always so nice for us to see our kind of like hometown heroes get that kind of national recognition.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Ekeban, mm-hmm. Of course, Rye Street always, and Magdalena, the
and
Ivy
Chef
Hotel
Wolf.
Itself,
mm-hmm.
and Chef Wolf. And Woodbury, but it's really fun to see the ascent of these places. As I said, I remember the very first review that Jess Mayhew did, and I was like, what is this? How do you say this?
Right.
And then going there for the first time and
yes.
really understanding the magic.
Yeah, it's so well deserved. It was so nice, and I feel like people in their dentist office or whatever flipping through Men's Journal, they're gonna be like, oh my gosh, Baltimore and Chef Carlos.
Totally. I'd like to think they look at Baltimore Magazine to get ideas about
I
where
hope
they should
so.
Go. Or maybe they listen to us talk.
Oh, I don't know. Shout out to Men's Journal. But that was awesome. Also, some other great food news. So Ekeban, which we just mentioned, it was announced earlier this week that they're going to be participating in this awesome outdoor food festival called Smorgasburg.
No, Smorgasburg.
Well, I think it's Berg, B-U-R-G.
Oh, really?
I think it's a nod because it started in Brooklyn. So it's like a fun like play on it.
Oh.
But it's really, really popular in Brooklyn. They have one in L.A. and they're starting one in D.C. in Navy Yard, which people are super psyched
about.
Reminds
me of a Fatburg.
Oh, my gosh.
Bad.
The worst name
That's
ever.
A really bad association.
That's funny, though. So Ekeban will be there. That's starting on June 15th, and it's going throughout the summer. And Cross Street Market officially opened this week, so people can finally get in there and see all of the updates. It's this beautiful renovation, and so far we've seen Steve's Lunch and Fenwick's Choice Meats open, and then throughout the summer there's about 20 more vendors, which I know we've talked about on the podcast. So that's officially open, and then there's a transition going on at Tiki Barge. Have you ever been to Tiki Barge, Jane?
No, but I'm intrigued.
So I've only been on this barge one time. It was back when I lived in Fed Hill, and it was, fun. I just remember the views being really, really nice.
Sounds like a day drinking kind of.
Totally. It's venue. Like this big barge that has a pool attached to it, and it's a, there's lots of like little stool seats, and then there's like a big tiki bar with a bunch of themed cocktails, I guess. And it's not reopening for the summer. There's been so many people in that area, specifically in South Baltimore, that have been, asking about it and asking me if I knew anything about it. But it was confirmed this week that it's not going to be reopening for the summer, but it is listed for sale. And we've heard murmurs about somebody possibly taking it over. So who knows?
Tiki. There's the Tiki place in Broadway Market as well.
So
Tikis are back on the rise.
Tigre.
That's been going on for a little while. Mm-hmm. I think we've even written about it in our bar exam column.
Yes.
But nothing says fun like Tiki.
Well, there was a little bit of conflict. We actually, on our website, we reported on it way back in like 2011, but the entrance is right off of the Harbor View condominiums, like off of Key Highway, and a bunch of residents from that area were really complaining about noise. And
I could see that.
Yes, me too. So, I think that had died down in the years since, but You know, I guess we'll see if anybody wants to take it over for $1 million. I think it would be, you know, a lot of people really love it and they would be appreciative.
Yeah, it's sort of to me what I don't even know what the thing looks like, but those bicycle, the bus thing that you can, not a bus, the bike, the
like what people do on
the trolley,
the
trolley,
the trolley.
What are those? Is it called a trolley
that you
bike around
like
town,
the drink
drinking?
The drink trolley.
It's kind
they
of
have
what,
them in Fells.
Same kind of spirit.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
Have you ever done one?
No, I have never been. No. I've never been on one of those. I went on they have it for a boat, like on a boat. I guess it's like a, I don't know what the name is. But when I went to visit a friend in Charlotte, we did like, you like pedal on the boat and you drink on it. But I think that they had the motor running the whole time. I don't think we were actually doing much.
That's hilarious.
So who knows, but you know, in keeping with the summer dock bar openings, I got you with that one. You're still laughing.
I'm just picturing it.
But yeah, so I guess we'll see about Tiki Barge, but, some other things that I reported on this week. So there's, a place called Cookhouse, that is going into the former B Bistro space in Bolton Hill. Do you remember B?
B was great. Of course. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I have a funny story.
Just, oh my God, tell it.
Well, yeah. you know, the Karzais, owned it, and, Hamid Karzais. Is it Hamid who was the owner or Qayyum? I can't.
Helmand.
Mm-hmm. Helmand. Okay. So, I just took some New York yoga teachers there and I wanted to impress them at this place. And we had a reservation and somehow they gave it away. And I was just really, I normally don't get angry over that kind of thing. I was really angry. And then I chewed out the.
Oh, no.
The owner, and they couldn't believe that he was related to the president of Afghanistan. You know, it's like, it was just,
is.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
sorry
funny.
For reminiscing.
Oh,
but
no,
I loved Bees.
Yeah.
And I loved sitting out on the sidewalk there. It was truly a neighborhood place. And
totally.
The food was really great for many years, but it was sort of a sad thing when they closed.
Yeah. Well, they sold it to the owners of On the Hill Cafe in Bolton Hill. It's mm-hmm. George Daly. His wife, Jessica, is a realtor in the neighborhood, so they've lived there for years. And they, I think, intend to make it kind of the same neighborhood place that B was. And it's going to have an all-day menu, which is great. People can go in for breakfast and lunch.
That's smart.
And then I think they're going to close from 3 to 5 and then reopen for dinner. And for dinner service, the chef, George, was kind of saying that he wants it to be a little more upscale with, mm-hmm. you know, spins on European and English, you know, American dishes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So steak frites and steamed mussels and things like mm-hmm. that. So it sounds like it's going to be great. And the other thing that I think is really thoughtful about it is that they're doing a takeout program that he's...
Oh, smart.
Yeah, he's designing a menu, kind of going off of what they've learned with On the Hill. He's designing a menu of things that, like, will keep well in the delivery process.
That's such a novel idea, mm-hmm. honestly. I mean, especially in an urban environment.
Yeah.
For some reason, you know, people love their Grubhub and their takeout, and people can walk on foot to... you know, to take things
and home.
Mm-hmm. But so most food is not good as good when you get it home. So that's really thoughtful.
Yeah,
that's a great
I was
idea.
So happy to hear that. So it really, it does seem like it's going to be kind of everything the neighborhood wants and needs it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that outdoor patio, which was so beautiful on Fulton Street, will be revived as well. So that's coming in the fall. They're hoping for October. There's a lot of construction that they had to do. George was kind of explaining, because I actually never made it to B, but he was explaining to me that when you walk in, it's kind of like you're just, it was
you're
so
in.
Open, you're like
in,
you're standing in front of somebody eating dinner.
Totally.
So
they, it's a small space.
Right. They built a bar.
Oh, really?
And they just kind of wanted to break up that open layout.
That's a good idea. Yeah. It was an open kitchen mm-hmm. and a tight space, but really cozy and really pretty, too. The chalkboard menus.
Oh, that's so lovely. I'm bummed I never made it there, but I am looking forward to going to Cookhouse when it opens this fall. And there was another really heartwarming story that I was so lucky to tell earlier this week. So there's a new monthly market that's coming to the Lake Montebello area. And I think the best part about it, so Have you heard of Kaju, the vegan ice cream place?
I actually have, yes.
Yeah, so they're sold, I think, at Eddie's Market, and they do the Baltimore Farmers Market. But it's a husband and wife team, Dwight Campbell and Nicole Foster. And Nicole is the one that has been spearheading this market. She organized it. And I think the best part about their story is that they've only lived in Baltimore for about 6 months.
Really?
She was telling me they, you know, started their business just outside of D.C. and they were, you know, they had come to Baltimore for some reason and they just kind of fell in love with the Lake Montebello area.
This happens.
Yes. Yeah. I love these stories. They're so, I kept telling her how inspiring it was to me and she was like, no, we were inspired,
by the neighborhood. Yeah, this happens with, you know, Alison Robicelli moved here after a weekend.
Oh, that's a great example.
Yeah, or a day in Hamden. She was like, I'm getting out of Brooklyn. she and her husband had a famous bakery there.
That's right.
They got out. They couldn't take it another minute. She was a native New Yorker, like the kind of person for whom like going out, like leaving town meant going to another borough in New York.
Yeah.
So, and she fell in love with Baltimore.
That's such a great story. I love hearing these stories. So, you know, speaking with Nicole, it was so, so inspiring for me. But so she moved. They live in the Coldstream Homestead Montebello area. And she just kind of said that one day she was strolling around the lake with her family. They have two sons. And she was just thinking to herself, like, you know, people are so friendly around here, but there's really no place for people to gather. Like, there isn't a coffee shop or, like, a little cafe. So she's launched these monthly markets that are going to happen on Saturdays. It's one Saturday a month through October. And they're going to be right behind Montebello Elementary School. And she's gathered so many food and drink vendors. Chef Kat is going to be there doing a cooking demonstration. Mm. They're going to have a composting demonstration from the Baltimore Compost Collective. And then they're also going to have yoga on the lake from Bikram.
I love that. I do Bikram. Yeah. Yep. Although I don't see it outside.
Yeah. Oh, right. So we'll have to see. But it was such a beautiful story. And I think that stories like that of people who kind of come here and in such a short period of time just see what, you know, these communities could be. And I think it's really nice. So her long-term goal is she wants the neighborhood to kind of have the resources to learn more about environment and composting. And eventually they want to start a community-run garden. But in the meantime, she's donating all of the vendor fees to Montebello Elementary. So that they can rebuild their vegetable garden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and really get that, like, education program for kids learning about, you know, where their food comes from and food deserts and things like
that. Sounds like she fell hard and fast.
Yes,
That's great.
So, you know, I felt like it was just such a great thing to share. It was such an honor to write that story. And so everybody, you know, check out the blog on our website. And if you'd like to go, it's going to be Saturdays throughout October. And they've picked specific dates that you can check out. So it seems like it's going to be great and really impactful. And it's such a great story.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I checked out Broadway Market. Actually, I went over twice this week.
It's officially open, right?
Yeah. I saw people eating these whole head-on fried fish from Sal's Seafood, which is one of the old-time places, which I mean, the new places look great, but Sal's is really intriguing. I don't know why I never noticed it before. It's amazing what a renovation can do.
Yeah.
It's sort of the premier place because when you walk in, it's really pretty much the first thing you see, front and center.
Right.
But I'm writing a piece on the markets and some of the highlights of the market and some sort of trivia fun facts. And I really enjoyed my walk through and I ate a bunch of things, including Taharka Brothers ice cream.
I was going to ask, is your best bite this week from Broadway Market?
It's not a new discovery, so it feels like a little bit of a cheat. But salty caramel, you know, is the best.
Good. And
what's interesting about salty caramel is it melts faster. I think I mentioned this to you.
Interesting.
Because what salt does to snow and ice.
Oh.
It raises the temperature, so it gets melty.
That is such a fun fact.
Yeah, so salty caramel, you kind of have to eat quickly or you get it in a cup.
Did you get a cone or a cup?
I got a cone. I love a cone.
Yes, me too.
I stayed inside.
It's more fun that
way. It wasn't too bad. But then I made my way over to Thai Street right across the way and had these amazing little scallion dumplings that pretty much, you know, just the way they sound. They're dumplings stuffed with delicious little scallions that have been sautéed, and I think probably sesame oil, and then they come with a dipping, like a soy sauce, and just delicious. It was just an appetizer, and I ate sort of in reverse. I had the ice cream first, so I wasn't really that hungry.
No rules.
Mom wasn't there, so, you know.
Wait, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I really, but I really enjoyed my visit. I mean, the space is really clean and bright and inviting, and there were families there and people eating at the counter. There were people drinking at the bar. And there's just a lot going on. There's a lot of renewed energy for just that whole area.
Absolutely.
So it will be interesting to see what happens when the Choptank Crab House opens up by Atlas. I think that area is just going to, you know, really continue to take off. I mean, it's already pretty busy, but there's been so many changes there.
I feel like it's going to come up before we know it. I think they slated for the summer, so.
I actually want to say Memorial Day, but nobody quote me on that. So that's just in my mind, but I don't think that's true. Yeah,
right.
That was their original goal.
Right,
not happening.
But definitely.
So don't go looking for it.
But looking forward to that soon. And but that's so awesome. I can't wait to get over to Broadway Market and do a little tour just like you.
What did you eat?
Oh my gosh, we've been talking about Orto so much, but I feel like I have to give them a shout out because I had the best birthday meal there. I went there last weekend with
a couple
of
birthday
friends.
Will not end.
No, it's over. It is officially
sick of your
over.
Birthday.
No, I'm sick of my own birthday. It is over. But it was great. I mean, so that was like, you know, 3 days after my birthday or whatever. But I had friends from D.C. who came to Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
So I was just like, all right.
Pressure's on.
You know, but I think that it's silly. There's like this unspoken, weird, you know, just
rivalry.
Idea. Yeah. You know, that D.C.'s somewhat cooler or their food scene is more
advanced.
Oh, no,
wait a second. I have to interrupt. I forgot I ate at Mama Fuca.
Oh, my gosh. What?
In D.C.
Wait a minute. That is definitely a Best Bite. Wait,
sorry,
go,
Broadway
go.
Market.
No, no.
No, it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Every single thing we ate was fantastic. I think my favorite thing were the noodles with beef and peanuts and chopped peanuts. And I just, when they were putting it down, they said these are the best noodles outside of Annandale, Virginia, which is where there's a huge Asian population. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It lived up to the hype. But I'm sorry. I forgot that I went there.
That's so great. And Chef Che is going to be, they're having an event at Sandlot and he's like coming in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he came over. So Chef Che is from Baltimore. He came over. He got a tip off from Su Jin Chan, who's a publicist for Foreman Wolf, because we were just discussing it. And she knows D.C. really well. So I was just confirming that is, in fact, where we should take my son for his birthday.
Oh,
and so then she tipped off.
Research.
Yeah, she tipped off Chef Che. And that actually the other thing that was amazing was they have these sake slushies.
What?
That are unreal.
You're
the machines are
kind
of going when you get there, and I'm usually against anything that's like that's sort of already made, but they were really delicious. They're refreshing and potent, and they gave us little samples just to make sure we wanted them, which in fact we did.
Yes.
They were amazing.
That sounds right up my alley.
Anyway, I'm really sorry you were telling me about Orto.
I'm so glad, Mama Fuku. That's amazing.
So there's pressure when you have DC people.
So we had a drink at Bluebird before we went over, which was fantastic.
That's fun.
We actually got, they have frites at Bluebird that are amazing. And then we got, they have hummus there that was really good. So we were snacking beforehand. We had kind of a late reservation. And kind of the same thing. So Elon, the owner, I guess knew it was my birthday previously. I think we're Facebook friends and he had heard about it. And it's so weird. I'm really not the biggest birthday person, but you know, so he came over in the middle of the meal and he was like, oh, we were going to stick a candle in your pasta, but we figured we would wait till dessert. Just so funny. But I was really happy that I could, number one, show my friends there and, you know, kind of give them a good feel for what the food scene is here.
Yeah, did they like it?
They loved it. They were amazed. I mean, they really, like, in awe of every single dish. And I think what I wanted to talk about, it was really interesting to me is there were things on the menu that I normally would not order or like that I ordered at Orto and I kind of fell
like
in love with. So olives for starters.
Oh, their olives are great.
Really good. They have fennel and citrus peel.
Mm-hmm.
I really am not a fan of olives, but they came to the table, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
they're
really good.
I could snack on these. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was the beet salad. Have you had that?
Yeah, I had that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of beets either, but the beet salad came in, and it was crumbled pistachios, and there's sorrel buttermilk in that salad.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. Like, one of the best things I think I've ever.
Yes. Yeah. Did you grow up eating canned beets like me?
No, I really didn't grow up eating a lot of beets at all, but I think I started to try them in salads and different things as I, you know, got a little bit older and my palate matured. But, you know, just was never the biggest fan. And then, you know, you try them and it just goes to show that I think different things made really well can kind of turn you into a believer some way. So
they gave you a birthday cake?
It was a panna cotta that they, it was amazing. Really tart. There was a lot of strawberry in it, but very, very good. I loved it.
You can't go anywhere now. They know you.
No, I can. I can go places. And my birthday is very much over.
In Bridezilla. Birthdayzilla.
Birthdayzilla. I hope not.
It is exciting, though, to take out-of-towners and just sort of to think, you know, where you should take them and to kind of put together an evening for them. It sounds like you did really well. I like the two-part thing. I'm a big fan of that, whether I'm, you know, with local friends or just my husband or my kids, having drinks in one place, going to another place. I sometimes even go to a third place for dessert.
Oh, I love it.
Depending on how ambitious I feel. But,
that's great.
But no, you did well.
Oh, I hope so. I'm glad I could show them a good time. And it's also nice to show them like different areas and different neighborhoods that they might not be as familiar with. So great week this week. And thank you everyone so much for listening. Jane, thank you so much for chatting. I love doing this with you. And this is the first week that you can pick up our June issue on newsstands, and you can check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.